And then everyone said, jabroni.
Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, X-Y-Z, A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter, you spell jabroni.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Two Jabronis with a Wrestling Podcast. BJ Cruz here with my tag team partner, the man I would absolutely throw over the top rope, given the chance, the incomparable Jeremy Loss. Jay, what is up, my dude?
You know, I'd expect that from you.
I'm revealing my true colors. I said last week I wouldn't throw you over the top rope. I am now changing course. I would absolutely throw you over the top rope.
I would throw you over the top rope. It's right. The Rumble. Every man for himself.
Shawn Michaels did it to Triple H. Stone Cold did it to Dude Love. It's anyone. It can happen at any time. There's only one number one contender, so it must happen, and it will happen. So watch your back, my friend. don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you download your podcasts. And if you're one of our fantastic Apple Podcast users, please, please, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling spicy, leave a review. And our Spotify people, hit us with that follow so you can help us climb those Spotify charts.
And please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the red button here-ish. Somewhere around here, there's a red button that you should hit and really help us out. Ben does a lot of great work to make sure that you get to see our pretty faces on YouTube. So, and you can see him drink the rosé. So make sure you subscribe. It's rosé, right?
It's a little rosé. Where it's one of the approved adult beverages on the current diet that my wife and I are on. So it's quite nice. It's quite delicious.
And then make sure that you also follow us on social at Two Jabronis Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy A. Loss. You can follow Ben at Cruise Control. That's Control with a K. We will do our best to be live tweeting this Sunday during Royal Rumble.
Oh, yes.
But we both have families. We both have jobs. You never know. Shit may change. But we are going to try to live tweet the Royal Rumble because this is our favorite pay-per-view. We love this one.
Oh,
no matter how bad WWE programming gets, we stand for the Royal Rumble.
How could you not? How could you not? Also, before we get to the meat of the show, also don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon show, The Rock and Talk Connection, under the Fight Game Media umbrella. Last week, we talked the first few months of The Rock's title run after Survivor Series, after the double turn. We talk about his amazing silk shirt, and then we talk about the not-so-amazing moments at the end of the Royal Rumble I Quit match between him and Mankind. But we also talk about, we get into this, a little bit of a tangent on Austin Pops, which I really very much enjoyed.
We're going to be able to talk Austin extensively in this upcoming episode because we are getting into the buildup to WrestleMania, I think 15.
Absolutely.
Rock Austin. So
subscribe. Yeah. Go subscribe. The link will be in the description of this episode. Check out our show. You also get a bunch of other shows on there. We're part of the first tier there, the $5 tier. So if you just want to inch in, you just want to test the waters a little bit, you'll get our show. You'll get Fight Game Media's second show of the week. It's great times. And
we're cheap. We're cheap dates here. $5, and you get to listen to us.
Look, no one's going outside anymore. You know, spend that $5 with us, and we'll get you some great Raw content. We are still giving away those free subscriptions. We haven't forgotten. We promise we'll get those out to you, these 3 1-month subscriptions, but they are out there. All right, enough plugging. It is now time to talk some of our favorite pay-per-view in the world, and it's now time to stick to wrestling.
And we should talk about it. I think we should stick to wrestling.
And for this week's Stick to Wrestling, we're breaking it down DX style. We're going over the 2021 Royal Rumble. All right, Jay, I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to let you drive. So you tell me the matches that you want to go over, and we'll go over them.
Okay, so we'll start with the non-Rumble matches because I think there's a lot of things that we can talk about when it comes to the Rumble matches. So right now on the card, we're only looking at the official card. There could be some matches that are added, whether it's a U.S. title match, whether it's an Intercontinental title match, what have you. There's some things that we can potentially talk about. We're only going to talk about what's on there right now as of Wednesday night, January 27th. So let's kick it off. Just get this out of the way. Asuka and Charlotte Flair defend their women's tag team championships against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I actually think we have a turn here, and Charlotte turns on Asuka so that we do get an Asuka match at WrestleMania. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that makes the most sense.
It does, in a way. So there's a couple things in play here. So Nia and Shayna, I don't want to see them as tag champs again, but I don't know what else they can do.
Yeah.
Asuka and Charlotte eventually need to feud because those two are the two best women's wrestlers on Raw right now. But you also have to look at Alexa Bliss and what Alexa Bliss has been doing as of late and her feuding with her matches with Asuka. There's potential that could be it. And we hold the turn until after WrestleMania, after we get through whatever Alexa Bliss is going through. But for my money, I think it makes a ton of sense to have Charlotte turn now and cash in on Charlotte Asuka at WrestleMania. That's a big stage. Maybe Asuka can get her revenge and you can continue the Alexa Bliss storyline after WrestleMania. But I think now is the opportunity to at least split this up, which has been an awkward pairing from the beginning. And it lets Charlotte go back to what she's best at, being a heel.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to swerve us with a lot, right? Like Charlotte's mixed up in this whole Lacey Evans business with her dad, which has seemed really, really weird. And it seems like a storyline kind of out of the Attitude Era and not in a good way, right?
Out of the Vince Russo Attitude Era.
Right. And especially with the way they're kind of utilizing the women on the roster.
Right.
It's not really about their in-ring skills with this specific storyline. It's about the out-of-ring stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of. I think there's been progress made with the women's division, and this feels a little cheap, especially given like Charlotte is obviously the best women's wrestler,
of
all time. Lacey's really good if you just give her time, but they kind of put Lacey in these weird positions to not succeed. And man, I'm a little bummed out with how they've kind of progressed with this. And then this tag team match for the titles, like it makes sense to, you know, put Shayna and Nia back in there, to try to get the titles back. But I guess this is just the long story with the women's tag team titles in general. It's just kind of convoluted, right?
They haven't done it justice. Like there's opportunities to do this right. And I think they've done it. They did it right with the Iconics and the run with Bayley and Sasha. But for the most part, it's just been a jumbled mess with these tag belts that they just need to figure something out here. I mean, they fall into the same trap that they do with the men's tag titles outside of like what they did with the New Day and the Street Profits, obviously. But like they'll just have like a random ass tag team like win the tag titles for no good reason, like a random pairing.
Yeah.
And then they're just there for an extended period of time when they really shouldn't be. But I just think this is an opportunity to branch out and start doing other things that are bigger and better. You can branch out, do Charlotte Asuka at Mania, branch that out and continue the Asuka Alexa Bliss, and then you can continue the Charlotte situation with Lacey Evans, and then maybe you can do Nia and whoever she doesn't break in half in the ring. So I mean, this is just a weird matchup. It's a weird pairing. I don't like their story tangents here that can go in a lot of different directions. I just don't see how you can keep the belts on Asuka and Charlotte Flair. They're just both bigger than the tag belts and they need to move on.
And they're not doing anything super great with them, right? Like when Bayley and Sasha were the tag champs and Bayley was a double champ, they were doing incredible, incredible things with the tag belts. They made them feel important. They were
across
working
all three
literally
brands.
Working triple overtime, right? Across all three brands. And they elevated those titles. So when they lost it, it felt like a big deal. And obviously there were other implications for what that meant for their relationship and whatnot. But man, and look, by all accounts, it should be the same with Asuka and Charlotte, right? Asuka and Charlotte are two of the biggest named women wrestlers in the company in all of professional wrestling. So it should have done the same. And the storytelling perspective, they essentially gave them the tag team titles and then split them off into separate storylines, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, the thing with Bayley and Sasha is like we were already kind of in on that partnership. And then there was always the teasing of the separation, which has kind of made that storyline tick, for lack of a better term. And then, I mean, just those two together, their dynamic is incredible. So I just don't think it worked the same with Asuka and Charlotte. Obviously, like Asuka does her thing and Charlotte does her thing. And putting Charlotte in this situation as a babyface just doesn't work for me. I hate Charlotte as a babyface. Absolutely hate it.
No,
like I don't want to like slam her, but her work as a heel is just so much fucking better.
You're so anti babyface. It's so funny. Just with certain with certain people. I take that back. With certain people. With Charlotte, with Seth, who else?
Sasha as a babyface. I'm not a huge fan of.
And KO. You've gone on that rant before, and like, I just think it's so funny because I'll say this. I agree with you. I vehemently agree with you on that. I just like how I enjoy the fact that sometimes they go back and forth because it kind of gives them a different layer, right? Like the thing with KO, why I enjoyed, I'm and specifically enjoying his babyface run now is because he was a heel for the longest freaking time. And
he's a good baby face now. Like that's right. Something that I agree with you. Like his work right now is good because he's not trying to be squeaky clean.
Sure. But it's always a situation where like, I know we harp on people for being baby face for too long, right? Like we rip Seth Rollins's of the world, Roman Reigns, John Cena's, and we want them to turn heel. But I also think that we need to be fair on that. Sometimes when people are heels too long, that is equally as boring. Right, it's just like the same shtick over and over again. Like, oh, you're
Seth the Monday Night Messiah.
Exactly. And again, so anyway, I digress. It was you're like, I hate the.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. It's just like Charlotte's one of those people, and I think it's just because it's in her blood. She can be a heel from now into eternity, and I'll love
sure.
it because it's just in her blood to be the cocky, arrogant asshole that is better than you. And knows it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. You're right.
And so I love that about her when she's playing that role. I just don't think she can play that role now. So we'll see. I'm hoping that they do something spectacular to kind of liven things up in the women's division.
So your pick for this match is they retain?
No, I have Nia and Shayna winning in some way, shape, or form. Could be some shenanigans, but ultimately Charlotte turns on Asuka so that they could potentially set up something at Mania.
Yeah, I also have Nia and Shayna winning. I think that's how you keep Nia and Shayna even a little relevant.
Relevant.
And because they need to be, right? They're two of the biggest names on that women's division, specifically
and
on Raw.
You can spin this off so you can have Nia and Shayna win and eventually lose the titles maybe at Mania.
Yeah. Yeah.
To Dana Brooke and
Mandy Rose.
Yeah. Because I think they're invested in them.
Give Mandy a title, by the way. Can we give Mandy Rose a title? Like,
you should have got a title fucking months ago.
Yeah.
It's fucking Sonya.
Sonya as well. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk. We're going to talk about this. Drew McIntyre, Goldberg.
Oh, boy. Early. So, you're trying to piss me off early, huh? All right.
I mean, this is tied into the Rumble. This is going to be whoever wins is going to face the Rumble winner here. At least I think so.
Oh, you think? Oh, well, you're spoiling your Rumble pick then.
I mean,
you're spoiling.
Again, this is the same thing. Like, I will say WWE storylines in writing in Raw has been less than stellar to be kind. Yeah. But what it does is I feel like this is the most open Royal Rumble has been in a very long time. Not even the two Rumble matches, but like the storylines coming out of these other, like these side matches, because there's so many ways that you can go with this match that are kind of intriguing. So you can have Goldberg win, which we all don't want
to
happen.
Please God, just,
we don't want that to happen. But what if it happens and Drew just enters the Rumble and wins the Rumble, and then you do a rematch of Mania, and you have like you have that moment again. That's an option. But you have. I'm going to run through these, and then we can decide. We can
Go ahead.
You can have Goldberg win, and then the Miz cash in, and the Miz cashes in, and wins the title, and then Drew gets his rematch at Royal Rumble or at Mania.
Okay.
You could have Drew win, and the Rumble winner, who I am going to say is going to be Brock Lesnar.
Oh, wow. Just
and then you have that rematch. So there's a lot of ways you can go here. That we definitely don't want to happen is Goldberg winning this title, but I could see it happening too.
So let me go over your three options. So first, which I actually don't hate, I just feel like we've seen that recently with Becky, right? When Becky lost the title to Asuka, she then entered the Rumble in place of Lana to win, right? And that's what kind of put her in place to main event 35. So I don't hate it. We've seen that before. So that's maybe not as intriguing. Yeah. The Miz skull crushing finaleing Goldberg to after cashing in, I would pop for that in a way that I've never popped for the Miz. And that's no shade. Shout out to Real World. Shout out to the challenge. But so of your three ideas, I'm power ranking this one.
There's also the way that we can envision this is Drew wins, Brock comes out, gets his revenge,
and then Miz
cashes in on Drew.
I enjoy that. See, I enjoy that more than Brock winning, which I know is going to be your pick, but that's fine. And then the third option, which is. What was your third option? Sorry, it was Miz.
Just Drew wins clean and Brock ends up winning the Rumble.
I mean, we all know my feelings on a certain Mr. Lesnar. So but ironically, that's only, I would put that at two of your ideas. I just don't want Goldberg to win. I'm anti-Goldberg. And like, I actually talked about this last night on my appearance on the Fight Game Media podcast, talking about the Rumble with our friend Double G. And like I went hardcore anti Goldberg. It was
as you should.
It was crazy. And like Double G, rightfully so, kind of put me in my place and was like, "Look, Goldberg catches a lot of heat, and rightfully so. But there's some aspects that I think that we are blaming him too much. And it necessarily wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he won the title. And my initial response, my gut response." I was like, yes, it would. It would be the worst thing in the world. But I can also understand it. It would elicit a reaction, which is all you really want.
But is that the reaction that you want right now? Because I feel like a lot of fans have grown tired of having Goldberg show up and win the title and then take up a spot that could be going to somebody else that has been around, that is putting in the work, that has done their time in this pandemic, are putting their lives on the line to work for.
I think that line of thinking is a little too optimistic in that, or idealistic anyway. And like, do we really think WWE cares about people waiting in line for their turn or anything? Like,
shit.
They released. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second, released all this talent a couple months ago, right? Like almost damn near a year ago, put people out of jobs. They now have a $1 billion deal with Peacock. Again, the rich just get richer in a time where it doesn't make any sense. So
that deal is crazy. Side tangent. That deal is fucking crazy.
It's wild. It's wild.
Also you can now say when you're about to watch wrestling that it's cock time.
Who is saying that? I demand to know who's saying that. You have children. You should be ashamed of yourself. You have two kids.
I said that the first time I turned on Peacock and my wife looked at me like I was like on drugs.
I have to message your wife and tell her I am sorry. But I apologize for the human that you are. No, but look, man, I get it. I just I don't want Goldberg to win, and I just Drew going into Mania as the champion. I think he's earned that right. As much as I'm like, WWE isn't going to owe anything to anyone. I think Drew McIntyre's earned the right to walk into WrestleMania as the WWE champion.
Like, I know, I feel like they're not going to put the title on him, on Goldberg, but I could see them deciding, you know what, like, we need something as like a pop, and we need a name to put on the marquee for Royal Rumble or for WrestleMania to try to drive people to watch it, because it's going to be a two-night thing. Ideally, the ideal situation for me is The Miz cashes in and we have some fucking chaos.
I'm a fan of chaos. I am.
So I just want to see that. I don't care. Like, they can have The Miz cash in and lose again. They can have The Miz cash in, win, and then lose the belt to Raw. I don't care. I don't want to see The Miz in a title match at WrestleMania. I'd much rather see him face like John Morrison in a one-off match. But
ooh, a little blood feud. Okay.
I just want to see chaos. I don't want to see something that we saw last year with The Fiend, or the year before that with Kevin Owens. Like, I want to see something drastically different. So
I feel like your point too, what strengthens it as well, is like, there's probably going to be a crowd, right? And
at Mania? Oh yeah.
So they're going to pop for Goldberg, whether you hate him or not. Like, those X thousand amounts of people are, look, I'm just saying, if they're going to a wrestling event in the middle of a pandemic, they just don't give a shit just about anything.
Not my people.
Yeah, so they might pop for Goldberg. I'll just put it that way. They might pop for Goldberg.
All right, let's get to the Roman Reigns Kevin Owens match really quick, because we do have to dive into these Rumble matches. But Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a last man standing match for the WWE Universal Championship. It's got to be Roman winning here.
Oh yeah,
but I don't hate this continuing to Mania. This is good.
Ooh,
this is this is one of the best things going.
So your prediction is that KO Reigns is a Mania match for the title.
I think so, unless they want to do Reigns Jay, like they want to do Jay. Ooh, versus
we're gonna have a discussion once I make my
because
role,
so. Ultimately, like, Plan A was Roman The Rock in Hollywood.
Sure.
That had to have been Plan A.
No, that had to be plan, like, building that show around that match.
Because there's no way you turn Roman. I know that, like, a lot of people are asking for, but there's no way you do this unless you have the light at the end of the tunnel, which is The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Rock would have been a face, like, easily.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. Like, he's a baby face for all time now. Like, I think that was the reason behind the turn. It's worked out great for them, because they've been able to, like, turn Roman into this fucking god. But I think now they can keep this thing going if they wanted to, and I wouldn't be mad at it. Or they can do another match for the head of the table, and they have Jay and Roman go at it again.
So, okay, I'll predict this match, because that's what we're doing. I am going to disagree with the Mania match for Roman, but we'll talk about that later when I make my Rumble pick. So, I mean, I think this is clear cut. I think it's Roman hands down. I think I looked at the betting odds. I always look at wrestling betting odds, even though I know they mean shit. I just think it's so funny that there are wrestling betting odds, and they bring me so much joy. Roman, a heavy favorite. Heavy, heavy favorite. I think they're still going to put on a banger.
It's gonna be great.
I think it's gonna be a fantastic, fantastic match. And look, last man standing matches, I think we've talked about this before. That stipulation, I'm not a huge fan of.
It's like one of my least favorite ones, because it sucks out so much of the drama that you get from a near fall.
Like a 10 count by six, I'm kind of out. Like, I just, like, a three.
It just, like, kicking or getting up at nine just doesn't feel the same as kicking out at 2.5.
Right.
You know,
and there's definitely, because there's more room for the ref to, like, milk it. Right. Like that 10
count, like a 10 count, but it's really like a minute and a half.
Yeah. Like 1, 2, 3 is pretty throughout all of wrestling. as you know, when even though refs know how it's supposed to turn out and they can kind of milk that two a little bit, the rhythm of a 1-2-3 is pretty much the same. The rhythm of a 10 count, even on countouts, right? It feels weird. It feels just unnatural. So that's why I'm not a big fan.
It's like one and they come all the way back.
Yeah.
And then they go two.
Yeah.
Like they need to do like the NBA style with the refs where they just do the arm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So when I was a ref for like Boys and Girls Club in high school, man, that was my shit. Just doing the 10 count, and I would get people, and then, you know,
how many, you seem like someone who would give a lot of tees. You get a lot of technicals.
Shit ton of tees.
Oh, you're
I kicked a parent out of a game one time. That was fun.
Oh, you're a jackass. That's incredible.
And I was like, I animated my foul calls. Jill's like 1-5 with the hack.
Oh yeah. You did your little block, you know, slide in. Yeah.
Like Joey Crawford.
Yeah. Little slide in. I do think you'd be a great WWE ref though. I think you have the look. I think you have the mannerisms.
That is the best compliment you've ever given me.
I think you have the temperament for it because you don't take bullshit. And if someone says something to you, even a little bit offensive, you would act out.
I would kick them out. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I would practice my 1-2-3.
Oh, so did I. I didn't want to be one of these refs who counted 1-2-3 weird.
No, so, you gotta like
full throw elevation,
it up, and then you gotta come down. It's like an elbow slam,
a good
like,
slap. Yeah. I wanted to be a ref who had like a good 1-2-3 slap.
I did the slide too, where you slid in and then
like Charles Robinson running nine miles.
You gotta practice that shit. It doesn't come natural.
Absolutely.
It's like a jump shot. You gotta be able to like count three the right way. So
exactly. It's all about form. anyway, look, Roman's gonna win this. It's not gonna be close. And I'm gonna save my prediction for Roman for WrestleMania for my Rumble pick. How about that?
Okay. All right, let's take a break. We got to pay some bills.
Let's do it. We'll come back.
We'll talk the Women's Royal Rumble match. All right. Let's talk Women's Royal Rumble.
All right.
Now, is it just me or are they announcing more of the entrance into the Royal Rumble than before? I feel like I know that they've done it. They've done it before where they've announced like, oh, I'm
declaring
going into the. Yeah, I'm declaring. Yeah. It feels like there's a lot of them, like almost half, more than half of the men's Royal Rumble has been announced. And just about half of the Women's Royal Rumble has been announced. So it's quite the field. So I'll just run through the women's, the ones that have declared. So we have Tamina, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler, Alexa Bliss, Peyton Royce, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, Bayley, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, and Nia Jax. And the winner of this will get a title shot against Sasha Banks or Asuka at WrestleMania. Part of me is thinking the winner here is Alexa Bliss. Another part of me is thinking the winner is Bianca Belair or Bayley. I would love to see Bayley Sasha again, but for whatever reason, I feel like that feud has died. They killed it.
I think they had the blow off. They had the match. They had the banger of a match, and you know they kind of pulled the pin on that grenade a little early. Which is fine. Which actually was fine because they had a hell of a match.
It was a great match, but that's a WrestleMania headliner, in my opinion.
It is, but it's
that
also
they wasted.
I don't know if I agree that they wasted it because I feel like you can pull that trigger again down the line because I feel like they're always going to be connected, whether they're feuding or they're together. It's kind of like a Rock Austin situation, right? Like Rock Austin, they had multiple times where they met at Mania. And they were great each time. So I think you can do that. That being said, I want my pick for this anyway was Bianca. Is Bianca Belair.
I would love to see Bianca because then that would allow that allows my storyline to play out because then you have that would mean that they're going to do Charlotte Asuka.
Right.
And you save Alexa for after Royal Rumble, after WrestleMania. I keep wanting to say after Royal Rumble. You save Alexa until after WrestleMania. Which is fine because I don't know if Alexa versus Asuka is a WrestleMania match. It's a good match. They've been doing really good work. Alexa has been fucking killing it, but I don't know if that's a WrestleMania match. Charlotte Asuka is a WrestleMania match. Bianca Sasha is a WrestleMania match. And that would strap the rocket to Bianca Belair, who they've been doing a lot of wonky shit with, whether it's like random thing like jumping over hurdles and carrying Otis around the ring. Like that's
yeah, like obstacle interesting. Course stuff. Yeah.
Like Mr. Perfect style. And I mean, that would immediately throw a new person into the top level of women's wrestlers in WWE. Because right now it's like they are so reliant on the four horsewomen that being able to have Bianca come in and add a new face to that along with Asuka, I think would go a long way in making sure that they have some creativity with this women's division.
I have a thought and you can shoot it down. But so look, I'm sticking with my pick. I'm sticking with my pick of Bianca Belair. What are the chances? What are the odds that Becky Lynch returns?
Zero.
Zero.
No chance.
Explain to me why.
She just had a kid. She had a kid in what? December.
Right. You still show up.
No, not a chance.
No, you're out. No, you're out on
not
this
a
idea.
Chance. She's okay. For one, as a new mom, there's no way she's going out and working in the pandemic. Zero.
Okay. That's fair.
I think
a great argument.
I know that she's working out because she did post some like
I saw her
at the gym.
The gym, Seth's CrossFit gym in Iowa.
So I mean, she could be getting into shape, but there's just absolutely no fucking way.
So you're at 0% for that. Now I'll throw another name at you. Who I was at 0% before I threw out Becky at you. She does have the second best odds to win the Rumble, which is freaking bizarre. Ronda Rousey.
50% she comes back.
Ooh, 50.
There's a good chance.
It's a coin flip for you. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Coin flip.
Though I think the only... If she comes back, she's winning it. There's absolutely no way she comes
I think
back
that's why the odds are that way. They're framed that way, right?
If she comes back, she's winning it, and they have to put her in there with Charlotte. So they have to figure out a way to get the belt off of Asuka.
Interesting. Well, no, I just wanted to throw those two names out there because obviously those are two of the bigger names.
There is the possibility. Now, this would be fucking interesting. There is the possibility that they have Ronda come back. She wins. And Becky shows up post Rumble, like Ronda did when she debuted.
Oh, little ooh. Okay. See now this is synergy. This is podcasting right here.
And
I throw something
that
out.
Way. It gives Becky a few more months to just be with her child
to get back.
And literally, all she has to do is just wrestle one match. Like they're not gonna. I don't think they need to put her in it. Like she can do what. Like Cena did last year where he like has like one promo and literally that's it. And then they have the match. So I mean, I would still put that at like 10 to 15% happening, but
that's up from zero.
It is up from zero.
Which you were at
it would early. Be really fucking interesting because I mean, that is a story. That is a money storyline. And that's a headliner. If you do Ronda Bailey or Ronda Becky,
but it is, I guess it is also counter to what you said earlier, which is very true, in that they keep leaning on all the four horsewomen, both groups, right?
They
both
do.
Versions. And this would just kind of lean into that probably a little too much because you're literally kind of dipping your toes in both parties, both forms
and also,
of the four horsewomen.
The ship has sailed in the four horsewomen versus the four horsewomen.
Oh, so bummed about
Never
that.
Never going to happen.
I think... Oh my God, I always forget the two names of Ronda's.
Oh, Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke?
Yeah, like I think I read somewhere that they're just now doing, or Jessamyn Duke anyway, is now just doing up, up, down, down stuff. Like that's her deal. She's a big gamer. She's a constant presence on up, up, down, down because that's one of my favorite YouTube channels. So I see her on there all the time. And I feel like I read that somewhere and I think I read that she was also fine with it. Like she was happy with that. So anyway, you're right.
Yeah,
though.
I don't think Marina and Jessamyn are working very often at all. So, all right. So let's just make definitive picks. I know that we keep going back and forth about this could happen. Let's just make our definitive picks. Let's go back really quick. Cause I don't even know if we did that for the first matches. So I'm picking Asuka or Nia and Shayna, Drew McIntyre and Roman. And then my women's Royal Rumble winner, I'm going to go as much as I'm going to go Bianca.
Okay.
I'm
going
to go Bianca.
I'm going Nia and Shayna as well. I'm going Drew. I'm going to be a glass half full guy. I'm going Roman and I'm also going Bianca.
Synergy. We're all on the same page here.
I hate to agree with you.
There's a lot of shenanigans that can take place. Absolutely. Picks up. All right, let's go to the men's side.
Here we go.
This is wide open. I mean, wide open. All right, Daniel Bryan, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Otis, The Miz, Jey Uso, Cesaro, Jeff Hardy, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Shinsuke, Big E, John Morrison, Sheamus, Mustafa Ali, and Edge.
It's a great...
Why did they waste Edge's return as a vignette?
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. I part of me was like, hey, it's like a throwback to remember when Edge debuted. It was a little bit of a vignette, but also like we know Edge now. He's an all time great. He's an all time legend. Why would you spoil? But it also might have been a thing of would you have popped the same if Edge returned at the Rumble unannounced like last year?
But I still would have popped.
Right, but I think it would have been a watered down version of it. There's also no crowd. So like the crowd is what. Look, Edge's reaction made that Rumble moment. The crowd was the other half of it. So yeah. Edge returning with no crowd doesn't have as much cachet. So I understand why they did it. I agree with you. I would have loved to have been surprised. But I also am understanding in this sense of like, hey, Edge showed up on Raw. Like, let's pop some YouTube viewers for people to check that out.
All right. So people that are not included in this... that are more than likely going to show up. Braun Strowman's going to be in this.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric is going to be in this. Ricochet, maybe another member of Retribution.
T-Bar, little T-Bar
action.
little Mace.
Jesus, man.
I still laugh every time I say their names, by the way. Like every single time.
I would... assume that what's his face Matt Riddle is going to be in this.
Yep,
there's probably going to be an NXT guy in this, maybe Adam Cole.
Hope some Adam Cole
or Damian Priest.
Oh yes, I like that as
Keith
well.
Keith Lee is going to be in this,
absolutely.
So there's not a lot of room for surprises here. I mean, even if that's nine, ten names. So that leaves you, if those are 10 new names, that leaves you with three. And one of them is going to be Brock Lesnar.
Man, are we really, this is really where we're going, huh?
That's the only, I mean, that makes a ton, because that way he doesn't have to be in a storyline, doesn't have to show up.
Yeah.
Literally win and be in a match at Rumble. The Fiend is another one.
I mean.
So who would be... That would mean that's 29. Am I missing any? Rey Mysterio?
Rey, Seth? Did you say
or Dominic Seth? Or Seth? Yeah, so that's 30?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more than 30 names that you could throw in there. I feel like Seth is going to return.
Seth is more likely to return than...
I mean, they teased his return and then they just didn't do it. Like, he just never debuted. So he's ready to go, by all accounts, assuming he's...
So, yeah.
He's comfortable with it. But... I feel like Seth is more of a likelihood to appear than Ray at this point.
Okay, so let's just fill this out. So we have 17 now. So we'll go Seth, Brock, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Cedric, Ricochet.
A little Retribution guy, one of the two.
T-Bar. Fucking T-Bar, man.
You stand for T-Bar, I know.
Oh, King Corbin.
Oh, Corbs. Corbs got to be in it. And then an NXT guy.
Elias is going to be in it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So maybe the NXT guys won't be in it.
And maybe no NXT guys. All right. This is a wild one. If Brock's in it, he's winning. There's no way he's not winning if he's in it.
He's got great odds to win it.
I would say tier two underneath Brock, Jey Uso. I don't see Edge winning because I think what they're going to do is spin out Edge and Orton again.
Mm-hmm.
If the Fiend is in it, he's in tier two.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
That's literally it for me.
Wow. I mean, I don't hate any
Keith
of those
Lee. I know a lot of people are like, Keith Lee can win it. Keith Lee's going to win it. I don't see that happening.
That's not even my pick. That's not even mine. I'm going.
I know who your pick is.
I'm going out
That's
of.
Not
your,
happening.
I'm going out of your tiers, and but let me explain why. So first of all, it should be Big E. It should be.
It should be because but it won't be.
But so in terms of going back to your point earlier of this being wide open, which I completely agree about. Like again, these betting odds mean nothing. Like right, it's all bullshit. But if you with this being a Royal Rumble where we don't have a clear-cut winner. We don't know who it's going to be. Big E, you're right. On the surface, Big E being the Intercontinental Champion, he's the mid-card title holder. Why would he win an opportunity to face either the top champion on either show? But I feel like that's what the surprising aspect of it is. That like that adds to it and doesn't necessarily take it away. I also think his segments with Paul Heyman on Talking Smack, which have been severely underrated, in my opinion, severely underrated. Heyman just putting him over to the moon like crazy. And again, for some reason, he's just not taken as seriously as he should be and rightfully should. Like it's wild to me still that he's had this incredible run as a singles competitor. I say that loosely because he literally reunited with Xavier Woods the other day. But I just think he would be like, you can just get behind him as an Intercontinental Champion and kind of even almost like a Keith Lee NXT situation where he was the NXT champion going for the NXT championship. Maybe at some point, you know, through this journey, he drops the IC title because he's really focused on the Universal Championship. Like E Roman at 37, sign me up for that. Like that's a big money match.
I love E. I think it'd be great to see him in that match. I just don't think that's a match for this WrestleMania. I think they're gonna do something since he is the mid card title holder. I think they're gonna end up doing something with him, and probably Sami Zayn, or Daniel Bryan or whoever at Mania, just to kind of get him on the card. Because he's never been in a singles match at WrestleMania.
I know, and that's why you... Same with
and
Kofi.
And another thing Kofi, to take right? into account is like this is a two-night event. There's going to be a ton of matches that they need to fill. So like...
Yeah, but I
mean... Taking him out of that mid-card spot and thrusting him... Like, that leaves a void. If he's there, that gives them somebody to work with.
But,
you know?
But does it fill... Does it leave... Like, there, I feel like there's plenty of people who could fill that void. Literally... Sammy,
but he
as
spent
you mentioned.
That he spent these last couple months building him into this mid-card title holder.
Yeah, but the second
you gotta let it run.
The second you start building someone just toward a mid-card and like you kind of pigeonhole them there, I feel like that's trouble. Like look, historically, once you're the Intercontinental Champion, that just means at some point you will be thrust into that world title picture, right? Big E has won the Intercontinental title before. I'm just trying to think outside of the box in that you're right. Like on the surface, he shouldn't win the Rumble. He's a mid-card title holder with potentially other feuds locked in. But the other feuds that we're looking at for Roman in this light is Kevin Owens, who we've seen before. Jey Uso, who we've seen before. And then after that, unless it's like a Seth Rollins or someone else who kind of has history with Roman, I feel like he's the guy. I feel like now is the time to pull that.
They would do Seth before they do Big E.
Wow.
I think they would do Seth as a way to try to bring Roman back to the good side.
Yeah. I mean, which, hey, I also wouldn't hate that either. You know, like Seth Roman would be nice.
It would be interesting. I just think... I mean... Big E would be great. I would love to see Jey Uso in that situation because then it gives a storyline that had a lot of legs.
Sure.
Some new opportunities, but it's super wide open. I think there's a lot of storylines that come out of this. Also, there's a fun one that I wanted to run off of you. This one's just fucking wild, and I don't think it's
okay.
Ever.
I'm excited.
What if Edge came back and was part of like the Fiend's crew, and it's sort of like the Brood.
What? Well, you mean he's like Ramblin' Rabbit? What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying like he's like he had to deal with Randy Orton. He's gone through the mental games
like that.
Maybe he's a little broken too, and we get like pseudo Brood Edge back.
As or if you bring back Gangrel as part of this package, I'm very much
no Gangrel. He's all elite.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it'd be fun if they did Either way, I think the Fiend is going to be involved in this Randy Orton storyline.
Sure. I mean, he has to be.
And they're going to do Edge Randy Orton. What if they did a cinematic match and like we get the same shit that we got last year with the Fiend and John Cena, and we get like little flashbacks to Edge and the Brood. Like,
oh boy. Oh,
I'm just like, I'm thinking outside the box here because we've seen Edge and Randy Orton. I want to see something a little interesting, and having the Fiend involved and adding some like,
He's like the puppet master, you're saying. He's just kind of pulling the strings. I like that. That is out of the box. That's way out of the box. But I also like where your head's at. It's a little wonky, but that's the kind of fantasy booking we need out here in the streets.
Let's just make our picks here.
Big E.
You got Big E. I got Brock.
Okay.
It's going to be an interesting Royal Rumble. We're going to wrap it up now. This is probably the most wide open Royal Rumble I can remember.
In recent memory, this is the absolutely the most wide open, and I don't think
going to be like last year was different because yes, they had a two night event, but at this time last year we were not like we were still living large, going to events, doing all that shit, and so like they planned for a one night WrestleMania, and things kind of went off from there, and they were able to pivot. This one, like we know that we're going towards a two night WrestleMania, so there's going to be a shit ton of storylines that come out of this night. Like, there's going to be at least 10 storylines that come out of this that are going to run to WrestleMania. And that is super exciting, but also kind of, like, shocking at the same time. Like, there's a lot of room for error.
It's one of those situations where it's like, this is exciting, but also equally terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that unpredictability is what's going to make this like a special show. I don't know. I feel exactly the same way you do. I'm terrified. I'm excited. I just feel like it's going to be good. I feel like the night as a whole is going to be good.
We're going to go in there optimistic. We're going to watch this show. We may do a snacker. I know that we say we're doing snackers all the time, but we may actually do a snacker.
The Rumble. Yeah. I mean, I think with the unpredictability of what's going to happen or what might happen, we got to do a snacker. I'm holding you to this. Let's verbally agree on the podcast right now.
We're gonna do a Zoom handshake right now.
Right there it is. We're doing a post Rumble snacker. So you got it. Everyone's clamoring for it.
We're gonna wrap it up. Make sure that you follow us on social at Two Jabronis Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow me at Jeremy A. Loss. You can follow Ben at Cruise Control. That's Control with a K. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Really help us out. Ben does a lot of great work to make sure that you get to see our pretty faces. Make sure that you also subscribe to our second show, Two Jabronis with Wrestling Podcast, The Rock and Talk Connection on Patreon, part of the Fight Game Media. So make sure you do that. Help us out. It's a lot of fun to talk to Rock. We just got done talking Royal Rumble 99. Now we're talking Royal Rumble 99 through WrestleMania 15. So make sure that you guys listen to us and really, really help us out.
Absolutely. And don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you download your podcasts. And if you're one of our fantastic Apple Podcast users, please, please, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling spicy, leave a review. And our Spotify people, hit us with that follow so you can help us climb those Spotify charts. All right, everyone, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy Royal Rumble week. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really, really good. So let's enjoy it. Make your picks. Tweet us your picks for the Royal Rumble. Whether you agree with Jay that it's going to be Brock's return, whether you agree with me that it's going to be a new day for the new day, or if you got somebody off the board, someone off of the tiers that we were going off of. So, all right. In the meantime, if you can, stay home. If you can't, wear a mask, wash your hands, stop touching your face, and always and forever, Black Lives Matter. All right, everyone, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.